Let's turn to lesson number one, page number four in your books. Well, go to the Word of God, page number one. I need to give you these blanks. I covered this, and we read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And once a person is saved, discipleship is the process of learning what it means to follow Jesus in obedience and growth. And then we read John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Page two, simply put, a disciple is a committed follower of Jesus, a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Thus, discipleship is learning what it means to follow Jesus fully. What will you learn? What you will learn? The answers are in the back of the book. What about that? Okay, so for the sake of time and my sanity, trying to get all this in, I'm gonna let you look in the back of your book and fill in those blanks. And I want you to turn. Well, we just dealt with what will you learn? The Scripture. The Word of God, that's lesson number one. Who God is, Scripture being the blank, God being the blank, Bible reading and prayer being the blank, Christian living being the blank, the local church being the blank, financial stewardship, financial being the blank, then witnessing to others, witnessing being the blank, then page three, what you can expect. A couple of sentences down, your discipler, and that talks about how hopefully through this process we will have and be able to, especially after this, we go through this to disciple somebody and know how to do that. So discipler, then that second blank there is grounded. Readings each week that will help you become grounded in God's Word and further apply the truths from the previous lesson. Then under what you should commit, a commitment to every week to finish the course. You need to commit that now. If you don't, this ain't going to be worth a hill of beans if you just go a week or two and three maybe, or one, two, skip a few and come back toward the end. You need to make a commitment. I'm going to be here. Unless something providentially hinders me, I'm going to commit to be here every week and finish this course. Then a commitment to regular church attendance. Well, that should be a commitment of every Christian anyway. One of the most significant ways that God strengthens our faith is through the preaching of God's Word. And discipleship is an exciting time to study the Bible, but it can never be a substitute for attending regular preaching services in church. Page four. Everybody there? All right. I think this is about where I left off, maybe. A commitment to complete the assignments. Well, that... you got assignments there toward the end of the lesson. You need to commit to complete those assignments, because what we're going to give you during this service, and this service is going to be truncated because of the time, but go home daily and commit to read these scriptures and walk through these lessons. You got a whole week with the Word of God, on the Word of God, so commit to these assignments. Lesson one, we begin our journey learning about the book that will be our guide through this course. In fact, through our entire Christian life. And that book is the Bible. Amen. You'll never be a disciple without the Word of God, the Bible. In this lesson, you'll learn some of the most important truths related to the Bible. Who wrote it? Why we believe it? And what impact it has on our daily living. First, take a moment to see how your Bible is put together. 66 books, right here in this Bible. 66 books. Amen? And that's your blank. It contains 66 books. It's divided into two sections, the Old and the New Testament. The Old Testament was recorded before Jesus came to earth. The blank is before. The New Testament tells about when Jesus was on earth and the spread of the gospel through the first century churches after he returned to heaven. Page 5, the Bible is not arranged in chronological order, but according to subjects. Did you get that? That's very important as a Bible student to know. The Bible is not written in chronological order. Did you know Genesis wasn't the first book written? It wasn't. The book of Job. But the Bible, and we'll go through more of that in detail. I don't get hung up there. There are groupings of books on history, literature, prophets, gospels, epistles. That's what this Bible is made up of and put together with. Use the table of contents in the front of your Bibles to help you find passages until you become familiar with the order of the books that you can find until you can find them on your own. God wrote the Bible. See that in bold print, page 5? God is the sole author of the Bible. Now, that's very important. You can't argue with the author. Amen. If a preacher's preaching the Bible and you get mad at the preacher, well, that's so silly. Now, if I get, Brother Jack, if I get out preaching on my opinion and running rabbits and going outside the lanes of this narrow book, that's a different story. But if I'm preaching what thus saith the Lord, and you get mad at me about it because the Holy Spirit's nailing your hide because you've been doing something wrong, and God put it on my heart, and I don't even know you're doing it wrong, but that's how it happens, you know. Hey, for you to get mad at me, I'm just a mailman. I'd be like going to the mailbox and opening up your water bill and punching the mailman in the nose. You sorry devil. He didn't run your showers from daylight to dark. That was you did that. He just delivered the mail. Well, that's all the preacher does. If it's in the book, don't get mad at the preacher. Amen. I know that sounds simple, but you'd be amazed. God's the author of the Bible. There are two words we use to describe how God got the Bible to man. Amen? Number one, revelation. This is God communicating previously unknown truth. Revelation is God communicating previously unknown truth. Things that man did not know that God intended for him and wanted him to know. God revealed that. And we have the book of the Revelation, but that, listen, from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of the book of the Revelation, all of that was revealed to man. Amen. And so, number one, how we describe how God gave us our Bible was revelation. Number two is inspiration. Inspiration. This is God having His truth recorded. God has revealed Himself to man in many ways, including creation, our conscience. The Bible says does not that even nature. Man, you say, well, what about people that ain't got a Bible? Listen, God says that nature shows a man that there's a creator, His creation. But God's Word, God give us His Word through inspiration, revealed Himself, but He's revealed Himself in many ways, creation, conscience, history. And we'll look at these all in our next lesson. But the clearest way He has revealed Himself through the pages of the Scripture. If you want to know what God wants you to know, don't look to the scientists, don't look to, hey, don't read your horoscope, your horoscope, and things of the devil. You don't need to be messing with that mess. You'd be amazed how many people read their horoscopes. And what's that other thing where people, you say, what are you? What is them? Pisces or zodiac signs. Yeah, that stuff's of the devil too. All that stuff. You don't need to mess with that stuff. You know what you need? Hey, it don't matter if you're a Capricorn or a zodiac or whatever. Pisces or whatever. I don't know none of that stuff because I don't care about what some crazy person come up with and what the devil pushed on to us about who we are and how we are. If you want to know who you are and everything God wants you to know, it's right here in the Scripture. That's what God revealed to us. Don't believe the newspaper. Don't believe Scientology and all that. Don't believe all that mess. Hey, you young people, the young people's over there. But hey, you younger ones, listen to me. Don't you listen to crazy people telling you that there ain't no God and this earth just come here by a boom.
Amen.
Listen to what this God said in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. It's sad we got to preach that. But oh, we need to. All right. I don't need to be preaching. I need to be teaching. 2 Peter. Somebody get their Bible. Who's got their Bible out? Turn to 2 Peter 1:19. I'm right here at it. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Amen. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It was not by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we got our Scripture. Amen. That's a divine work. That's a supernatural work. I'm telling you right now, I got in my hand a perfect, pure, preserved, just exactly, I mean the dotting of the I to the crossing of the T, the jot and the tittle has not been lost from what? When Peter got down and wrote the book I just quoted you, I just read to you, that's exactly what he wrote. Go back over there to Genesis, or what about the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, that's Joshua 1:1. You know what? That's exactly what God said to the man to pin down verbatim. I mean, every letter. I'm saying to you, what we have in our hand is trustworthy. God's word's never changed. It ain't changed today. It will never change. It's forever settled.
Amen.
Don't matter what modern men say. Don't matter what the modern culture says. Hey, listen, there ain't a plethora of God's words out there. There's one. It's this King James Bible. Amen. Hey, you can't have something perfect, pure, and preserved. And there'd be about five different versions of it. Can't be. It cannot be. If there's a perfect Bible, and it ain't this one, show it to me and have the proof to back it. And I'll eat my dirty socks and stand up here and let you have the pulpit, but I'm going to tell you something. That ain't going to happen because this is the one.
Amen.
This is the book. Yeah. Hey, y'all thank God for the Bible. I'm telling you. Amen. This has every answer that you ever need in life is in this book. Every answer to life's questions. And not just to life's questions, but to eternal questions. Amen. In this passage, the Apostle Peter, who saw Jesus in his glorified state, explains that the Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy. In other words, by having God's revelation of himself written, that's just blank, for us in black and white, we know it is true and that we can depend upon it. Peter also describes the process by which God recorded the Bible. Page number 6. Let's break this verse down. The Bible did not originate with humans. Did you get that? You'll get that question a lot. What do you mean to tell me? This can't be perfect. I mean, men wrote this. You ever try to tell somebody, hey, this you believe the Bible? By the way, you'll never be able to be a soul winner and an effective witness unless you can have an understanding and know that this Bible is where your foundation is, because you've got to have this book as the foundation to explain to somebody they're lost. You got to have somewhere to go to start from, and this is the starting place. If you don't have a foundation, you may have a good conversation, but you'll never be an effective soul winner. That makes sense? People have to believe. Hey, a lost person's got to come to grips with what God says about him. You know what? How we can convince them what God says about him? Because it's in the Bible. And then once they realize that they lost, because God said they was, and the Holy Spirit starts convicting them, then you can say, hey, now that you know you lost and you're under conviction, hey, let me show you this Bible verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right there in the Bible. Hallelujah. Yes. So, but you'll get that. People say, oh, that book can't be perfect because men wrote it. No, it didn't originate with men. It didn't originate with humans. It originated not by the will of man, the Bible said. men of God recorded it, but it didn't originate with them. They recorded it. The words of the Bible, holy men of God spake. God is the author of the Bible. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible word for this process is inspiration. God breathed. God breathed. That's what inspiration means. That Bible is inspired. This King James Bible is inspired. It's the inspired, infallible, immutable Word of God. Inspired. God breathed. Just as it was when God moved on them holy men of old. That's what I'm holding tonight. That's why I'm so happy about it. That ought to excite you. Amen. This didn't originate with humans. The Bible word for this process is inspiration. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm trying to hurry up and get there. My fingers are sticking together. Is somebody there? Stand up and read it loud. Oh, I got it right here. Go ahead. 2 Timothy 3:16. You got it? Loud. Oh, what? Inspiration. All Scripture is given by inspiration of men. Nope. Of women. Nope. Of who? Of God. And is? Go ahead. Profitable. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bird. That's right. You see that? To better understand this process, you should understand the meaning of the word inspiration. Listen, we need to understand the meaning of the word inspiration. If we believe God's word is inspired, we need to know what inspiration means. Let me say what the Bible inspiration is not. What the Bible inspiration is not. Sometimes we use the word inspiration to refer to an idea or a motivation to do something creative or artistic. Like, for instance, we might say Michelangelo was inspired to paint the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Or Shakespeare was inspired. Now, I would never say none of this stuff. I'd say I was inspired to eat a hamburger. I was inspired to go fishing or something like that. But whoever wrote this book Paul Chappell said inspired as he wrote Shakespeare was inspired as he wrote Romeo and Juliet. But that's not the meaning of the word inspired. So in other words, get the fact that the way people use, oh, I was inspired to do this, or I was inspired to do that. That ain't the word we're speaking of here. That's not what we're talking about. What Bible inspiration is, there is another definition for inspiration that we don't use often. It is the drawing of air into one's lungs, inhaling. You see that? This is the inspiration spoken of in 2 Timothy 3:16. The phrase given by inspiration of God literally means God breathed. In other words, God breathed the words of the Bible to human penmen who wrote them down. Because of these two truths, revelation and inspiration, the Bible is literally the Word of God. It is God's Word to us. Jesus Himself specifically stated that God's Word was divinely inspired by God. Over in Matthew 4:4, I should have marked these. Get it. Stand up loud. Not by bread alone. Word seedeth out of His. You see that? Amen. Thank you, Brother Wars. Good. Good. God used more than, listen to this. This is amazing. God. In this Bible right here, God used, there ain't no other book on planet Earth. You can go check all the libraries. Listen, in all of history, there's never been a book like this. Listen at this next little section. This is mind-blowing. This should convince you this is God's book. God used more than 40 different men from a variety of backgrounds over a time span of 1,500 years to record each word found in your Bible. The writings took place on 3 different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, and in 3 different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. However, yet the entire book completely agrees and is in harmony and has been validated time and time again by history, archaeology, and science. Not one contradiction. If you Ask 10 contemporary authors to individually write their viewpoint on just one controversial subject. You would come up with a wide range of conflicting opinions. And yet, the Bible covers hundreds of controversial subjects by many different writers, and the entire book agrees and falls in harmony. There can be only one reason for this. The Bible has just one author, God. Many penmen, but one author. So I just don't understand that, King James Bible. You should. He lives in you. The author lives in you. So I just don't understand this. And I have to pray this. Hey, I know I'm getting away from the book a minute, but this, hey, listen. I come to places in this Bible, and I've been studying a long time, and I read it a long, I've read it about my whole life. I've been hearing it preached, and I come to places, and I say, Lord, I just don't understand this. What does this mean? And you know what? Hey, you don't. I'm not knocking commentaries, and there's been wise men. I've got books, all kind of books, but I'll tell you this: the Bible is the best commentary there is on the Bible. The Word of God is the best commentary. Compare Scripture with Scripture. And if you still can't figure it out, get on your knees and say, Lord, you're the author. If there's anybody who knows what this means, you do. And you said, Lord Jesus, when you ascended, you said you promised you'd send a comforter. And that comforter is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Hey, he's in you, the Holy Ghost, who will guide you into all truth. The Spirit will guide you in all truth. So if you don't understand it, say, hey, I need some help here. Amen?
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, my goodness. We're on page 7. Yep, y'all probably going to have a little extra homework. You're going to have to finish the lesson. God has preserved the Bible. Not only has He inspired the Bible, but God has preserved the Bible. Ain't you glad? Getting back to this Bible right here that I got in my hand. Inspiration is a whole lot, Brother Bill. Inspiration is you hardly have anybody who will argue that the Bible is inspired. Oh, if you go back to them original manuscripts, that's God inspired His Word. But there ain't but one problem with that. The original manuscripts you can't find. They're gone. Anybody read the paper this morning? Do people still read the newspaper? You look at it on your phone. Hey, you know how the material of a newspaper, how easy it is to tear? I mean, it ain't even good as notebook paper. Nowhere near. Do you know the stuff that they would write, that parchment paper that they would write? That's why the scribes would have to pen it over and over and over and over again, because it wouldn't last. And they wouldn't but one copy, and they would pass it around, and it'd get wore down. Hey, I'm saying to you, inspiration got us the book, got us the original. But the originals don't do us any good because they do not exist. So inspiration, God breathed, is absolutely meaningless without preservation. To us, is everybody with me? If God didn't preserve it, what good does it do us for something, a book that was wrote thousands of years ago? But I'm going to prove to you, God's going to prove to you, He didn't just inspire it. He didn't just breathe it and speak it. And He preserved His Word. Don't argue with me about it. It's right here in the Bible. God has preserved the Bible. So we know that God moved human penmen to write the words in the Bible. But that leads to the question, how do we know these words are preserved for us today? God promised, that's you blank, to preserve His Word. Psalm 12, verse 6. The Bible says, The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Is that what your Bible says? Verse 7, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Not man, O man, or O woman. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Ain't that what's written right there in your Bible? And you go over to Psalm 119. Boy, I could just sit there and camp out and preach right there for a little while. But since when it took so long to get to here, I can't. Psalm 119, goodness, verse 89. I think, is that what it said? Psalm 119, verse 89. The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Same psalm. Verse 152, same psalm, verse 152. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Do you see a theme? God's big on inspiration, but he's big on preservation. Some of you old-timers know this. I'm going to have to stop right here anyway. Close with this illustration. Look, any of y'all ever canned? Mama, you've canned. I know you got more canned stuff. If the bubonic plague was to hit, you'd have enough food to keep us all living and full. She's got more canned food. Hey, canned food, when you can that stuff and put a seal on the top, you put that mason jar on, pops and it's sealed. It'll preserve. It'll hold. I mean, year. It long time. Now, Preacher Duckett, if something was to happen and I was to can a whole jar, I don't know, so let's say tomatoes, because I'm wanting a garden tomato bad and I ain't got none yet. And I heard because of all this tray stuff, tomatoes are going to go up to $4.50 a pound. That's what I heard. But if I can a whole jar of tomatoes, if I was on my way to get the top to that mason jar and I spilt one of them tomatoes come out of the top and I put the top on. Hey, do you know that ain't, I've lost some of it. That ain't all of it. I didn't preserve it. Let me tell you what happened. The devil had men write manuscripts way back when God inspired the Word of God. The devil had wicked men writing manuscripts. There's lots of manuscripts. Do you know that all these versions, every version, the NIV, the New American Standard, the Message, I can go, the ESV, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. New King James, they're all trash because they all come from a corrupt text. Are you listening? But they just happens to be one. All them others. Now, I said, how can you have a bunch, four or more, that are different, and they all are? And yet they're supposed to be perfect and preserved. Well, if it ain't all there and it's all different, how can it be perfect and pure and preserved? Track them all down. I have. All the way back to their source. You know where they all go? Back to the Vatican. Back to the Vaticanus text. Them manuscripts they found. The Alexandria, that's right. That corrupt text. The devil knew what he was doing. Listen, the devil sowed them seeds way back so it could pollute and pervert the Word of God. But there's one Bible. All them other versions come from that corrupt manuscript. But there's the manuscript that didn't come from the Vaticanus, didn't come from that heap found there in Alexandria. There's one text, one manuscript, the originals that they found. Hey, listen, it goes back to Antioch. That's where the church began. That's where, this King James Bible that I hold in my hand is the only Bible that we have that goes back to that text and that manuscript. Reckon why that is. Reckon why this one's hated so much. Reckon why people detest it so much and want to put them other ones. I'm telling you, because it's God's Word.
Right.
It's perfect, it's pure, it's preserved, it's forever settled. And I think God will have one. Well, page number 8. We're supposed to get to 14. I tried my best, but we got to be done. Or I'm going to have children bum rushing me. So read through pages 8, 9, 10, and 11, 12, and 13, 14. I'll just give you some extra homework. Read through them. God tells us about the process by which he preserved his word. Historically, there's evidence that God has preserved his word. God uses the Bible today. You need to read about that. And then there's some application, and then your homework. So you got your daily devotions that'll end with the review of the week. And you got till next Wednesday to do that. All right, let's stand together.